All right, let me jump over here to the opening monologue, The Right Side Way. And I got to tell you, I decided today I had both a philosophical point and a desire to talk about some military history. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to combine the two. So yeah, let me just mix some military history and philosophy for a moment. So for everything you see on the face of things, there are 10 more going on behind the scenes that make it work. Many times the way that things actually work is a mystery to folks who benefit from the final product. I'm a classic example. In the Army, when it came to communications, I was what we used to jokingly refer to as a push-to-talk guy. I didn't need to know all about frequency modulation, encryption, amplitudes, or whatnot. I just wanted to know that when I picked up the handset and pushed the little button that I was going to talk to somebody. I had amazing combo guys that worked for me at times. They could break down a radio, use some bubblegum and baling wire, and string the parts out on a 2x4 frame, and we could talk to the far reaches of the war zone. It was those kind of guys behind the scenes who made things happen. And I may have been out front, it may have been my team, but it was the guys on that team, often quietly working in the background, that really, really did make things happen. I knew the same thing was true when I ran a nonprofit ministry. I mean, sure, I was the area director. I had the sign on the door, right? But I also had a sign on my wall that read that volunteers are a gift from God. And I knew it to be true. There was no way for my ministry to have been effective without those folks who gave up their time to work alongside me for the greater good and the idea of taking Christ to kids. All that to say, here's my point. There are silent warriors on every battlefield. There are folks who may never know the full impact of their own role in the bigger picture, and they may never get the medals or the applause or the accolades. But we can't do without them. Without their efforts, the communications break down. The team stops functioning. The mission is left unfinished. You see, silent warriors are sometimes the most important. I was reminded of this when I recalled a group of men who did some things that no one knew about. Things that were left classified for decades. Things that impacted lives and actually changed geopolitical politics and even kept one country out of war, at least for a time. In 1957, the U.S. Army Special Forces were fairly new. They were cutting-edge soldiers, many of whom had been recruited because they had immigrated to the U.S. from foreign countries and they spoke multiple languages. Special Forces became known later as Green Berets because of the special commando-style headgear they wore. And that Green Beret was actually unsanctioned and considered a rogue piece of their uniform until the day that President John F. Kennedy decided he liked it, and he officially authorized its wear. To this day, at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, now called Fort Liberty, Green Berets and PSYOPs and Civil Affairs soldiers received their training at the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center and School. We often refer to it as SWIC, sometimes call it the Fort Bragg School for Wayward Young Men. But in the early days before Kennedy, and even before they wore Green Berets, the men of Special Forces were unconventional in going to places and doing things that no one knew about but them. And one of those groups of men became known as the White Star Teams. So most people think of Special Forces or Green Berets as being all about direct action, like, you know, raids, ambushes, hostage rescue, all that stuff. The unknown element, though, to most of the outside world is that Special Forces actually cut its teeth on what is often simply referred to as FIDUW, which means Foreign Internal Defense and Unconventional Warfare. It was said that a single 12-man A-team of Special Forces could parachute into the wilderness, link up with the G's or the guerrilla forces in the area, and that one 12-man team could build a battalion of guerrilla fighters. Well, in 1957, communism was spreading across East Asia. The U.S. decided to quietly insert teams into the small rural nation of Laos to conduct unconventional warfare. The teams were designated as White Star Teams. And for nearly 6 years, these men trained the mountain tribesmen to conduct guerrilla warfare against the Pathet Lao communists. They initially just wore all civilian clothes with no rank. They lived among the people of the highlands. Their supplies were airdropped by CIA-flown planes, and their first commander was a legend named Bull Simons. Senior U.S. leaders had determined the spread of communism across East Asia had to be checked, that it was a direct threat to U.S. interests and the potential for communism to continue spreading to the Pacific region was just an untenable idea. So the outward politics and the geopolitical premises and the speeches and the world leaders all posturing among themselves, well, that was the front side of things. But on the back end, it was a small group of unsung heroes like the White Star Teams that were actually standing in the way of communism. It was the men whose names that most people will never know who actually fought the battles and forged the supply lines and opened the communications and did the deeds necessary to make what the world saw on the stage, the world stage, possible. But even unsung heroes need to be reminded why they do what they do. Came a time when it was necessary for the White Star teams to be reminded. What were they living in the bush for? Why were they out there sacrificing so much? Well, one of the White Star commanders, named Lieutenant Colonel John Little, he focused his men with some words that they needed to hear at the time. And he said this to them. He said, quote, "The sky is the limit of what you can achieve. You cannot make a new louse in one day, but it does take one day to start. And now is the time to start beating the enemy at his own game. You win the hearts and the minds and the emotions and the loyalties to the concepts that motivate us, freedom and justice and individual human rights and equality of opportunity and higher living standards." He was right. One day at a time, one person at a time, the White Star teams kept communism at bay for 6 years. Politicians did what they did in the end, but the men of the White Star teams, they were unsung heroes that many people had no idea were out there operating in what was often called a non-permissive environment, out there in Indian country, fighting the good fight, doing it quietly. But our society, though, today, is in need of more unsung heroes. And not just carrying guns. I'm talking about unsung heroes that are in the midst of our society, our culture. It's so easy these days to get wrapped up in politics and social media and elections and culture wars. But the fact is that none of that matters without men and women who are quietly willing to work in the background for the greater cause, for the thing they believe in. The U.S. cannot survive without such unsung heroes. I know I've seen it. I know it. It's true. And many of you out there, you get tired and you wonder why you do what you do, but I'm here to tell you that without your work, even when it's done quietly in the background, this society would fall. This nation was built by unsung heroes. Ronald Reagan knew this. He once delivered a speech to the workers at an auto assembly plant in Kansas City. He acknowledged that the years just prior to his election had been hard, that the economy had been difficult, that uncertainty and Cold War and the post-Vietnam military had all made Americans feel unsure of their position on the world stage. But in his usual way of extolling American values and raising people up with his words, Reagan said some profound things that day. And at one point in his speech, he said this. He said, quote, "One of the things that I enjoy most in this job is the opportunity to get out of Washington and to meet people from every walk of life and every corner of the world." He said, "But I have to tell you that no matter where I go, there are no more finer people than those men and women who raise our food and patrol our streets, man our mines and factories and teach our children and keep our homes and heal us when we're sick. These people are everyday Americans, but they're heroes in their own right. They're the unsung heroes of America." So here's the thing, y'all. What I'm saying is don't get tired. Don't get down on things. Don't slow down and don't think for a minute that what you're doing for the greater good has no meaning or purpose just because you might not be the one out front. You find your passion, you find your calling, and you work. And even when no one's looking. Because it's the unsung heroes doing the unconventional warfare in the enemy's backyard, or keeping the radios humming, or teaching the kids, or volunteering in the local nonprofit. It's those unsung heroes quietly at work every day that keep this country alive. So if you can hear this, you are the resistance. Stay in the fight. Unsung heroes, we need them. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, there you have it. The White Star teams, look them up. They were actually called Hotfoot teams at first. They changed the name to White Star, but there were some legends that came out of that. But most of them were just names that kind of drifted off into obscurity. At the same time, nobody even knew they were out there doing what they were doing, but they kept communism at bay. Just small teams of unsung heroes kept them at bay for 6 years. I'm saying unsung heroes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.